1160 The Quest presents Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults, by young adults.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is Honest to God, a production of The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio. Super pumped to be here today. This is the first half, right?
This is the first half. Okay. It's a special show, first half, to fix some other stuff, but to talk about something really special, which I'll let you introduce.
No, absolutely. Yeah, and I apologize for asking. Obviously, every episode of Honest to God is filmed live, but unfortunately, the first half of this was corrupted. A first half that we spent a lot of time talking about spiritual warfare in particular.
Yeah, it's quite funny, but obviously God had a plan, and I'm excited to let everybody know what that plan was.
Right. About, three or four hours ago, we had white smoke at the Vatican, and Pope Leo the 14th. Long may he reign.
Leo the 14th. Great time. What a time to be alive and an American.
I know. It's exciting stuff. Yeah. I'm super pumped. Yeah. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. This is sort of a rushed together impromptu show today, which I'm excited about. We just wanted to make sure we said something about everything that was going on. And I really do think that it was the Holy Spirit thing. When we had those corrupted files from early on, that didn't work out. And then we got a Pope. So we're, I guess we're filming this the day of.
The day of, yes.
And it'll be coming out this Saturday.
Yeah.
And we have Miss Janice, the big boss.
Our fearless leader, yeah.
And I guess I'm here because, ironically and wonderfully, this Pope was a missionary. And we were going to be refilming the beginning part of the missionary episode. So
mustard seed, yeah. I'm super excited about that. But before we do anything else, let's start with a prayer, and then let's jump in with some conversations about our new Pope and about some of the great stuff going on down at Mustard Seed.
Sounds good.
Janice, would you mind leading us? You are a pro, a professional prayer.
I was going to say you could lead and I'd grade you, but then I know you don't grade.
We don't do that anymore.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, Heavenly Father, sweet Jesus, divine Holy Spirit, what a day, what a week, what a month this has been. We thank you so much for all of the outpouring of prayers throughout the world, to be a part of it, to be a Catholic right now and to be praying, and then to watch your hand, Lord, in a selection of a very important role in our church is just a beautiful thing. It's an exciting time to be Catholic. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for speaking to each of the cardinals, especially the ones that were in there voting, and bringing forth, like you have done in apostolic succession for so long. Thank you for bringing forth a new, an exciting Pope and an American Pope. How exciting is that, Lord, from Chicago? And Lord, we just thank you for this. We thank you for the process. We thank you for our church. We thank you for all the so many blessings about being Catholic. But today especially, we just are excited about this process and excited that it's based so much on the Holy Spirit. So thank you, Holy Spirit, for being such a big, important part of our life. And we also give Honest to God to you and to give this episode to you and our future mission trip as well. We ask all this in your name. Amen.
Amen. That was the Holy Spirit.
Look out, I could keep going.
I don't grade prayers, but clearly that was a 100%, obviously. 105, maybe?
Did we go over? Right. Maybe some bonus points.
Perhaps, I think everybody at home is wondering, is this the corporate overlords that we're not allowed to talk about anymore?
Which it's not, because those don't exist.
Because they don't exist, that's right.
No, they don't.
Yeah. I am not a corporate
overlord. I never said that. You were. I don't know what you're talking about. No, I want to jump right in and dig into all this stuff related to our brand new Pope, which is pretty exciting.
Very exciting.
My poor dad, I was telling you before we started, I'd spent the whole ride down here on the phone with my dad, and I just sort of stream of conscious word vomited every thought that I had. But you said before we started that you were cautiously optimistic. Can you dig into that a little bit?
Well, you know, I was really into this. I was really deeply looking at all the people praying. You know, there's one of those websites you can pick a cardinal to pray for.
College of Cardinals. And did you see that one? That was great.
Well, that was collegeofcardinalsreport.com. Mm-hmm. That was really good. I was really diving into that. So I really knew a lot of the different people, which I didn't feel that way with Francis or with John Paul I, you know. So it was really exciting to see. And I think it was just such a wide open field. We didn't know what was going to happen. So I was just really looking into all that, just very excited about the fact that it's an American Pope. Didn't see that coming. Right. Nobody saw that coming.
Right. I mean, everything I read would openly say, this guy seems great, really connected, love the languages. I'm not just talking about Prevost, I just mean in general. And they say, but he's an American, so that's not going to happen. Which I understand, like the historical context of that, of saying, hey, it's probably not a good idea to have the sole superpower of the world also sitting in the Vatican. I like the words cautious optimism. Yeah. I, I usually say that I have defensive pessimism, where I just always assume the worst thing is going to happen. And then if it's not that, then that's pretty cool. But I knew nothing about the guy. All of a sudden, everyone in the world is an expert on the Pope. I made the mistake of going on Twitter right afterwards.
I was on Twitter. It was fun. There was a lot of mixed reactions, but comment down below what you think of the new Pope, by the way. Yeah. And if you're driving, please do not comment. Pull over and then go to youtube.com/@honesttogod. That's number 2 God. And then put a comment down below of what you think of the Pope. Yeah. Pull over right now, please.
Right now, wherever you are. Yeah. I think I've said this on the air many times. My vote was for someone from Africa. Yeah. That is who I had gotten a vote, I would have voted for a guy from Africa, right? I think that they just tend to live in the real world in a way that we don't have to in the West, right? And and as a result, they're much more concerned with things that are real, right? And so I was sitting there waiting, and then when he popped out, he was an African guy. I did have a shucks moment for sure.
Yeah. It was funny. I was watching The Oath. Did you watch them? Well, you probably didn't, but when they were taking the oath, and they have to...
The Swiss Guard?
No, the conclave. All of the cardinals, and they have to put their hand on the Bible and say, you know, I swear to God, on the Bible, I'm going to keep secrecy and all that. And also, whoever's picked, I'm going to be supportive. And so you see the pictures, and I'd seen the pictures, but I hadn't seen how tall they were, how quickly they walked, how they stood, how they smiled, how they held their hands, it was kind of funny. Like a couple of them, when they were doing the oath, they were just barely touching the Bible. And I'm like, but then, you know, some were like that. I also was kind of funny because I was like, at first when they were taking the oath in the order that they were ranked or something. Okay. And so actually Prevost was one of the first that was in that group.
Sure.
So a lot of the first ones who were a little bit older, I was like, oh man, we're in trouble. These guys can't even walk hardly, you know? And I was like, I could beat him in a foot race. I could beat him in a foot race, you know? So I was actually putting FR on my list if I could beat him. But I couldn't. I was like, no. When he came up, I'm like, I couldn't beat him.
He is spry. He's spry. He's a really young guy.
I'll take him, And 69 from Chicago.
What drove me crazy and what I feel like sort of like taints a lot of the discussion anytime we're getting into cardinals and conclaves and all of that is... All the pundits, most of the pundits, unless it's from a pretty solid Catholic news source, they're trying to inject sort of American political understanding.
Right,
so you would read so much about this person as a progressive candidate or whatever, and then you look at the why, and it's like, they like poor people and refugees. So I'm like, I feel like that's kind of a given, isn't it? Like,
so I think Jesus did too.
Right. I think it's just called being Catholic.
It's part of our dogma, for sure.
Exactly.
And so it did that. One thing that was really... sort of heartening to me after we found out that we had this, we have our new Pope Leo the 14th, was when I Googled, I did a Google spree afterwards. So I actually had a classroom full of teenagers with me.
Perfect.
Quick class and started watching it. And meanwhile, I'm Googling while we're watching and I started to type in Prevost abortion, Prevost LGBT, Prevost, just to get the snippets.
Yeah.
And when I typed in Prevost LGBT, the first thing that came up was an article from Pink News, which is a gay news rag, right? And it was talking about how awful he was. So I was like, score! Great! Okay, that's a good sign.
Well, you know, I mean, a handful of the cardinals came up there, and so, like, Supich was up there, and I was thinking about Wilton Gregory, you know, our past bishop who's now a cardinal and who voted, and he's Chicago-based.
Right.
You know, he was born in Chicago, he was Bellevue Diocese. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when some of the people that I normally... Well, let's see. I was excited that they were excited because he was an American, and so it's nice to be able to be excited about something with some of our other American cardinals.
I was excited when I saw some of the cardinals realizing that meant they weren't Pope.
I
saw Cardinal Worrell. I was like, oh, score.
Yeah.
Okay, that's not
Fun. And Perelin, you know, being right up there next to him, you know, boy, I think that he looked. Just a sufficient amount of shock and a little bit of tears when he was speaking, and the way he smiled, I just loved that. The way he was talking about, you know, the arms of the Vatican buildings embracing the world, just some really good stuff, you know. And
it was interesting to me to see how little, right, given how public his life had been before he became Pope, how little information there was. Because even on the College of Cardinals report, when you clicked on, immediately went there, I clicked on his name, and there were a lot of question marks. We don't really know where he stands.
Right.
And obviously, and this is something I was sharing with my dad not too long ago on the phone, and something that I feel like is necessary to bring up. Obviously, the Holy Spirit knows better than I do who should be Pope.
Yeah.
Obviously, right? The Holy Spirit did not mess this up because he didn't consult with me first.
Right.
And so I want to take everything that I'm about to say and just make that clear, right? That being said, you do. You immediately go and you look at where these guys stand on certain issues. And even if I take someone like a Francis, who would probably have some pretty serious disagreements in regards to liturgy and just prudence in general, yeah. right? There were no major red flags. Everybody acts as if we're not really careful, if we don't pray hard enough, yeah. then somehow this guy's going to sneak through and he's not even going to be Catholic.
Yeah.
And he's going to teach that false doctrine and all of these things. Yeah. And that's not going to happen no. because the gates of hell are not going to prevail against the church, right?
And I love the fact that he was a missionary in Peru. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, my goodness, so his love for the poor, I mean, especially with what we're talking about, too, with mustard seed, with our mission sure. trip. I mean, anybody who's been a missionary in Peru, I'm going to like. You know, you just automatically like those people. And the fact that he's Augustinian, so he's an order mm-hmm. as opposed to, you know, and he also was at the head of the order, so he was going, I don't know where the Augustinians served, but he was going to all those places. So he's... And I read that his mom was a librarian, I think of Hispanic descent. I'm not sure which country.
Oh, really? I didn't know
that. And then his dad was
I know he's a dual citizen, right? He's got citizenship in Peru as well.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Okay, because his dad's Italian and French.
Okay.
So he's got all kinds of stuff. He was a lot of times working in Chicago, but then also a lot of times in the Vatican. If you look at his, like, his resume, he was in a lot of the different...
He's got a great CV.
Yeah, he really does. He's really well-rounded, so very exciting. And one, I heard somebody say that... that they had not really seen him much in Rome. They didn't run into him a lot, but the few times he did, the thing that stood out was his smile.
Right.
Oh, that's great. You gotta love that. You gotta love that.
I did. I might have spent about an hour going through every single tweet he's ever tweeted about anything.
Okay.
That was fun.
Is he a tweeter?
Yeah, he's definitely active. Did you do any of that, Producer Julian? Did you go through any of his tweets?
I did not find his tweets. No, I did not look, but that's a good point. I probably should. I was just looking at the comments from the lay people.
It was, yeah, there was a lot of, I mean, there was a lot of retweeting stuff, and it was very, it was Francis-y, right, yeah. in regards to things like I went all the way back through COVID, and we're hearing references to George Floyd and how we have to pray for an end to racism and a lot of that sort of kind of your milquetoast modern and, you know, racism is bad, obviously, right? But sort of the things that focus on vaccines and getting the vaccines out. There was some of that. It was, but there was great stuff in there, too, in regards to pro-life. And there was one condemning euthanasia laws being passed. Okay. There were some of this, once again, because the guy is Catholic. The guy is the Pope. And I want to just take a stand against all the people who are going to come out and say he's a liberal.
Yeah, whatever.
Whatever. Right?
He's just going to be now prayed for around the world mm-hmm. every Mass. So that kind of just prayer dumped on this, you know, person is going to make a difference in his life. And it's interesting, too, because with he picked Leo the 14th. Just shout out to Matt, my nephew, who picked that name ahead of time. He said before he even knew.
That's a great sign. I mean, I'm a big Leo fan. All the way from the first one telling Attila to go home Leo the 13th.
Very powerful name, Lion. And so Leo the 13th is the one who obviously made the St. Michael prayer and, you know, said that there was a vision of 100 years mm-hmm. that Satan was going to take and said he could destroy the church in 100 years, which we looked at it up and it's a little bit after the 100 years right now. That was, what did we say,
1884? Actually, it was 33 years to the day. From the day that Fatima first appeared was when he first had the vision.
Vision, October 13th.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And so the interesting thing is, you know, people have speculated beforehand when he's going to be installed. And mm-hmm. so May 13th is coming up and he could. So if he picks that would be pretty cool, you know.
Well, he's got a serious Marian devotion.
Oh, well, then.
Once again, going through his tweets.
Well, so May 13th, as opposed to May 14th, which is the feast day of Matthias. Mm-hmm. So, you know, which is also an apostolic succession thing, but might kind of have a little different connotation if you're thinking, you know, Matthias.
I want to get into the mustard seed stuff in a minute, but I want to dip my toe into a little bit of controversy. Is that okay?
Can we do this?
One of my favorite quotes that I stumbled upon sometime while doing all this, you know, you get excited. It's like the Super Bowl coming up with the conclave when you're Catholic. Was Cardinal Seurat, who I adore. I talk about Cardinal Seurat a lot on the show, and he said something that I think really encapsulates my feelings about the whole thing, right? His quote was, and I'll flesh it out a little bit, what he said was, the Catholic Church is not primarily a social justice organization, right? And he was saying, that is good. Going back to what I was saying earlier, it is good to take care of people who don't. That is a very Christian message. Jesus Christ calls us to do that, right? Yeah. We look at corporal works of mercy. Those are good. Yeah. We need to do those things. That's very good. But when I was trying to articulate while talking to my dad on the way over here, you come to that. I mean, I literally walked out of the car and walked in here, so this is all fresh in my mind. is that I feel like for the past 50 years or so, we have had a church that has, in some ways, from the top down, emphasized social justice and charitable works above the primary purpose of the church, which is the salvation of souls, right? Charitable work, that's what we do. We're the largest charitable organization on the planet, have been for, I don't know, I would be willing to bet over 1,000 years now, right? More orphanages and hospitals and schools than any other organization in the history of the world. And that's great.
Right.
But it is not our primary goal. Our primary goal is the salvation of souls. And I think that's been my biggest, that was sort of my biggest, when I was reading about, when I was reading about our new Holy Father, sort of, not hang up, that's not the right word, but me not pumping my fists in the air, right? Like I wish that I could do, because it does seem to be sort of that, that generation of priests and then bishops and now cardinals and now popes for a while were, seem to be more of that sort of, I feel like I speak despairingly of the baby boomers, baby boomery mentality of overemphasizing these very good things, charitable works, corporal works of mercy, but emphasizing them above the primary goal of the church.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, Jesus, like right before he did the Last Supper, I mean, he emphasized the Eucharist and then and emphasized right when he was risen, you know, go forth and make disciples of all nations. So this man does not have a home, you know, that he lays his head on. He's been in Chicago, he's been in Peru, he's been in the Vatican, so he's got that spirit of going out and grabbing souls for God. So I mean, let's hope.
And that's what I'm hoping. That's what I'm hoping, right?
Let's hope and pray.
That it is, that it is. Yes, we're going to help people. Yes, we're going to provide material aid. Yes, we're going to provide medical assistance. All of these very, very good things. But primarily, what we're going to do is say, hey, you were created to spend eternity with Jesus Christ,
Amen.
Who loves you, right?
That's right.
So that is my cautious optimism mixed with defensive pessimism, ready to rock and roll. And at the end of the day, we've already won. Right? The Holy Spirit chose them. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
Right. We win in the end. Praise be to God.
I know. It's all good. It's exciting. What an exciting time to be Catholic.
I know. I love
it. Just a great time. It was, I felt every minute of it. You know, it was really cool to see the white smoke today. I was outside, you know, digging dirt, shoveling stuff, and my husband yells out, "White smoke," you know, and I went running in, but then you didn't have to run because it was an hour. But it was so exciting just to hear that and waiting, and I was actually fasting, and so I was really happy it came early because I was really hungry.
Well, and going back to what an exciting time it is to be Catholic, I don't know if you've been following these stats. I'm sure you have. Have you been seeing the wave of conversions, especially amongst young people throughout
young
the Western world in general? It's I mean, it's to the point that it's making like regular news cycles in the secular mainstream news. They're, who are usually talking about like it's a bad thing.
Right. Well, the veil's lifting. You know, the beauty is out
beautiful.
There.
Beautiful. Right.
It's really beautiful. Like all just the pomp and ceremony, all the stuff and the Swiss guards, all that stuff. I mean, the whole world was watching that.
Right.
So they see that this is something like that you know, there's something to this Catholicism, all those billions of people, you know.
I had a student say the other day that the Catholic Church is the main character in history. I thought that was really kind of well
there
put.
You go.
We're talking about sort of the historical legacy of Catholicism as opposed to other denominations and other ones. And they're like, no, if you follow it, it has been this trajectory of the church triumphant repeatedly, right, moving forward in history.
It's just amazing, too. He's 69. I was born in Chicago as well, 62, you know, and he was I am 62. I was born in 62, but he was born in 55 in Chicago, so he's like 7 years older than me. But to see his resume and all that he's done and all the work he's done for God, it's so exciting. And then again, but, you know, being an order priest that's a missionary in Peru, right there, you know, you're out there just, you know, loving on people. So I'm just so excited about that, to see that part come out.
So speaking of corporate works of mercy, right? Let's go corporal, not corporate works. No, not tax write-offs. We're talking corporal works of mercy.
Right.
Let's get into Mustard Seed a little bit. Second half of the show, we're going to talk to two missionaries.
So exciting.
But it's, and I don't want to toot your own horn, or to toot your horn. Okay. But I'm going to. They're going to Mustard Seed, and I think a lot of that has to do with you and this beautiful ministry that you're a part of and that you work to recruit people in. Can you just tell us a little bit about it?
Well, I love Mustard Seed. When I land in Jamaica, they say I'm a Jamaican, and they say, welcome home, because I've been going there for 27 years, and it's an orphanage, so the kids aren't going anywhere. But it's a beautiful organization. It's Catholic in its roots, but it's and it was started 45 years ago, something like that, by a priest that's Monsignor Gregory. And
he's still there, right?
He's still there, yeah.
That's amazing.
72. And so he just saw, he was actually 26 when he started it. So mm-hmm. I like to tell young adults that, because he was sitting there getting his master's and looking out the window at some hungry children, mm-hmm. learning about, you know, all these things that we learn about in terms of faith and love. And then here's kids that are starving, laying right. out here. So we start taking care of them. And that's right in Jamaica, kind of right where Bob Marley was. So they start feeding them, and then he continued. And now we're in Zimbabwe, Jamaica, Malawi, Nicaragua, and Dominican Republic.
Okay.
And there's thousands of kids that have been, they're 90%, 95% have special needs, mm-hmm. and they're all abandoned. So we just pick them up, and you love them, and it becomes a part of your family. And the exciting thing about Honest to God, we have 10 former Honest to God panelists that are coming.
That's so great.
Very exciting. Wow. So we got Leo Wagner and Grace and Madeline, who are kind of leading it up. Hannah, Leah, Mackenzie, Annie, Drew Geiger, Gabby, who you'll see at the second half of this, Jake, and then myself. So very exciting to share this. JJ, who's been on before too, he's been to a couple of trips with me, because you get in there and yes, we're serving the poor.
Sure.
But more importantly, we're looking at, from the first world perspective, we're changing our hearts. Mm-hmm. And so you get to not only, it's like a little slice of heaven, you know, there's no phones pretty much, and you just get to serve and sweat and laugh and just the spirituality part of it. A third of the time you're doing something like digging something or whatever,
great.
Moving rocks.
Yeah.
A third of the time you're playing with the kids or feeding them. A lot of them, you know, takes a long time to feed them because they with different things, and then the third of the time you're doing spiritual activities with the group. It's like just, you know, a youth group retreat, so it's
right.
It's really fun, and there's miracles that have already started to happen. We have 3 spaces left for guys.
I was about to ask that.
Yeah, and you can go to gofishoutreach.com, and you can become a prayer partner for us. Click on that. You can donate to us. You can become, you know, it's not too late to join in. We'd love to have you.
You said for guys in particular.
Yeah, 3 guys.
3 men.
Because we're taking 21. We have Father Arturo coming with us, Merriman.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So we have people from Dalton. Gosh, we have a guy that just came into the church coming with us, Danny. I forget where he's from. Sorry, Danny. We have people from Connecticut. We have that I asked her in a bar in Steubenville. I'm like, Sophia, you got to come with us. She's like, okay. And then we have another girl from New Jersey joining us. So they're all up. So a lot of people don't necessarily know each other. So even if you're listening to this and you don't know anybody, this is, and you just feel that kind of feeling in your stomach, like, oh, wait, maybe God's calling me to Jamaica. Just do it. You know, just come. Well,
can you remind us of the dates one more time if we're driving?
Yeah, July 26th to August 2nd.
Okay.
So you got time.
Fantastic.
So, yeah, one of these
you
days.
Help with the fundraising.
Yeah.
You help with all of that.
I've never asked for money for Mustard Seed, but I probably raised $1 million from Mustard Seed after 27 years. But this trip, God is showing off. I have still not even asked for money, and people just keep literally handing me checks. So I have a 4-hour plan, and 2 of those hours are adoration. So all you literally have to do is start with sitting in adoration, asking God, who do you want to take with you? Because we have prayer partners, and so we have like 600 prayer partners that'll generally come in prayer with us. So when God gives you those names, then you go up and contact them. One of these days, you guys will be coming with me.
Yeah, absolutely. We're both prayer partners.
I was going to ask if you were, too.
Oh, are you? Okay, mm-hmm. good. Thank you for that. And this year we did something different where we actually let you write what your intentions are. And we read your names out 2 to 3 times down there, like all 600 names.
Whew,
so wow. And your intentions now. So,
no way.
Yeah,
that's super cool.
Which is really fun. It's just almost like that litany of saints, you know, pray for us and all that stuff.
Right.
Because we're like, John Henry wants us to pray for his newborn baby coming up. Julian wants to pray for his newborn baby coming up. You know, and then we're there, and we send you an email a week before to remind you to pray for us.
Oh, this is so cool.
It's the greatest.
We do need to go. We should come.
It's kind of fun. And the cool thing about Mustard Seed, we started an order. So, like, in terms, again, with the Pope, now there's an order called, in Latin, it's MMGS, but it's Mustard Seed Missionaries.
Yeah.
And the Latin thing is got the word
probably
seed.
Sounds really
in it.
Cool.
Yeah, MMGS. Yeah. But now, so we have several priests. We have a seminary, so you can become a priest of the order.
While you're down there.
That's right. Well, we actually had, I won't say who, but we have one missionary who's going to stay and check it out.
Who's coming down and they're going to stay and do some. Wow.
Yes. So we have an order of priests. We have deacons. We have a deacon from St. Bridget right here in Atlanta, another deacon in Kansas. But I think we have about 5 priests now. A lot of priests from Zimbabwe. A lot of our guys from Zimbabwe are young adults that are over there taking care of our orphans. Right. And then they decide to come to Jamaica and become priests.
So you said you've been going for 27 years.
Yeah.
Do you have any stories in the last couple of minutes that particularly stick out to you?
Oh, my goodness.
From 27 years.
Oh,
I'm sure it's hard to pick, but if you could give us one.
Well, I'll just give you one that I just on top of my head. So one of the girls that's coming. So it's more of a story here, not even there. But she said, I told her to pray. So she prayed this hour. And one of the names she got was her grandfather. And she said, I haven't spoken to my grandfather in like 15 years because her dad passed away a long time ago.
Wow. Okay.
And I'm like, well, blah, blah, blah. You're going to. This is the person you definitely have to call. She goes, I am so excited. I'm going to call him. And she said, a year ago, somebody from my school came up to me and said, I just had this great conversation with your grandfather. And she's like, wait, what? I haven't spoken to him in 15 years. She said, no, he's been donating to the church, to the school in honor of you. Because her dad also went to the school, and she didn't even know when she applied to this college that her dad went there.
Right.
And her dad was a part of an organization called Mustard Seed.
Stop it.
And I know.
That's so cool.
And I'm just like, I cannot wait to hear what God does with just that.
Right.
But that's the kind of thing. When you go down there, I mean, the stories are endless down there of the people that you just fall in love with, and these kids fall in love with you, and they're not going anywhere. So, I mean.
So you're seeing the same ones year after year after year.
They come running up to me, and they're, I don't know what they're saying, but I know that they love me, and they're like, and then mama, this one girl calls me mama. So, you know, it's just, there's a lot going on down there, and the staff is unbelievable. We always do a staff appreciation day where we bring down fingernail polish and all that kind of stuff.
So,
yeah, sure.
I
can't
talk
speak
forever.
For John Henry, but I can probably speak for him. I think next year we could vow that absent any circumstances that are beyond our control.
I'll talk to my bride.
Well, that's what I mean. That would be circumstances beyond
our
control.
I'll take her.
Yeah.
Will you take my six kids and infant, too?
Murphy came at 9. Okay. It was a special exception, but we could figure something out.
Yeah, so what is the age range?
Cause I would usually love 16, you know.
We could do an Honest to God from Jamaica.
Right,
well,
exactly.
We're actually going to do that.
They are this year,
but
we won't be
there. They have a radio station down there, so that's my goal, is to take a couple of these cameras down and to do a couple of episodes like we did with Dalton.
That would be so cool.
Yeah, we have a videographer coming, and then Drew's coming.
So not to throw any shade at Dalton, but it'd be way cooler to do it in Jamaica.
Jamaica.
So no promises, but... you could have an opportunity to meet John Henry and myself.
It's going to be so fun.
Next
come
year.
With us.
Yeah, but definitely come this year, too.
And
you'll
just see the face of God. I mean, can I say one thing really quick?
Sure, you have about 45 seconds.
Okay, cool. So I always tell people, pick one kid and just go back to that kid every time and just look in their eyes and look in their eyes. And so I picked this little boy, Damien, who was only this big, and he was 7, but he had been abandoned. So he was only 7 and this big. Kept looking in his eyes. And then eventually, Jesus looks back at you. Like, he just cried. He couldn't speak. He couldn't move.
Right.
And just going, Damien. He was just kind of whining. And then finally he looked up at me, and I swear it was Jesus. Boom.
Oh, that is beautiful. That's the best endorsement I think you could possibly
have.
Well, thank you so much, Janice, for coming on and talking a little bit. Guys, make sure you stay tuned. We're going to be back with some Mustard Seed missionaries
here
in a few minutes after a break. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This is Honest to God, a production of The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio.
More of Honest to God is coming up on AM 1160, The Quest. And now back to Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults on AM 1160, The Quest.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This is Honest to God, a production of The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio. We're still rocking and rolling. We got Gabby. We got Grace. Life is good. Talking about Mustard Seed, talking about missions in general. And I kind of want to pick up where we last left off. If you were listening, you heard these two ladies both give a wonderful 25-second commercial for why you need to go on Mustard Seed. And I agree. I want to talk about mission in general. But first, we talked off air about a couple of things, kind of Mustard Seed or Jamaica-specific, that I'd like to get into. The first of which, any awesome memories or stories worth telling from your one summer that you spent down there and your many months that you spent down there?
I'd probably say, like, not a particular memory, but, like, it was, like, just a lot of crazy things that happened, like, for us to get down there.
Awesome.
Last year, I don't know if anyone remembers, but there was a hurricane that came to Jamaica, and it happened, like, the week we were supposed to go.
Okay.
And so... it was, like, everything happened at once. And, like, if I forget any details, tell me. But basically, like, because of the hurricane, we were like, oh, no, we're going to have to, like, delay it. Mm-hmm. So we had this really big group going down, and some people could do 1 week and some people couldn't because we were going to, like, put it down, like, postpone it. And so we had to, like, split it into two groups, and that was just, like, crazy having to, like, reschedule it because of, like, the hurricane. And there was also, like, they needed, like, a generator down there. Mm-hmm. So we also, like, raised, like, money for a generator just, like, oh, cool. Randomly. Yeah. We're like, oh, we're going down. Might as well get that, you know.
Which was, like, several thousand more than what they were already fundraising.
So we brought a generator, too, and...
just, like, bring it in your check bag?
What is it?
There was a shipping container.
Oh, yes.
People from the state send shipping containers pretty regularly full of, like, adult diapers and doors. And, like, if a house is being demoed, it'll be, like, donated and they'll have, like, all these, like, tiles and, like, whatever they can send. That's the thing about Jamaica. They utilize everything. You realize how wasteful we are. They'll use something once and they'll be like, oh, I'm taking that home with me because I'm going to use this as whatever.
Yeah, like, your trash is their treasure. Like, they use it for everything. But, yeah, anyway, back to my story. It was, like, crazy because when we were going down, because I was the second group and Grace was the first one, like, the first week and the second week. And, when we were going down, it was, like, we were driving down there, and that day, that was when the Delta, computer, like, technology crashed.
Oh, yeah,
crashed.
I remember that.
Yeah, so everything crashed. Nothing was working, and so we were, like, we got, like, delayed a couple hours, I think, and we were just trying to figure out, like, are we going to be able to make it, like... what's going on? So we were able to go. We had to, everyone, like, found their ticket except mine. So we had to, like, they were, like, lost my ticket. So we had to, like, find it because, like, for some reason my name was spelled wrong and all this stuff. And then I was going back before we, like, left. I think, like, wasn't there a, like, tornado here when we were, like, trying to figure out what weeks we would go? And I was like,
There were so many little errors.
Yeah. And I was like, dang, this is like spiritual warfare at its finest. Like, if there's a tornado in here, like up in here in Dahlonega, when there's like mountains up here and stuff, like that says something. Sure. Mm-hmm. I was like, this is crazy. So,
You said, y'all were talking about that off air a minute ago about the spiritual warfare that is involved and why that's so important to have the, what you do, because people don't just have to donate, right? They can also be prayer partners. What's the word
you use? We all have like a minimum amount of people that we need to get to sign up to say that they will pray for us. And it's great to just say, like, will you pray for our mission? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that, you know, they might say like a prayer or two, but we get them to sign up with an email so that the week of our mission, we send them an email every day, like saying, awesome. This is what we did, or this is like a novena that we're praying, because we want to be able to bring these people like with us too, kind of spiritually, so that all of the graces and efforts that they're putting forth as well can be like used in a mission sense. So yeah, we like to be able to ask people, and especially like if they're not able to donate, we're like, we still want you to join our mission, I guess, in a sense. And it's so needed because we need to cover these trips in prayer. Because even in situations like
because
that,
the devil keeps throwing various like, wind and disasters at you.
We do no prayers.
And then on mission too, there's always like, there's just hiccups and things like left and right. But then when we're covered in prayer, it's like, I feel like God always finds a way to make it exactly how it's supposed to be and just bring so much grace from it. Like the fact that that trip was separated caused so much like stress and turmoil. And then my mom had to like, go through and basically like run two different weeks of mission when she thought she was just going to do one. So it was all over the place and everyone had to be flexible and adjust to that. But then I think that the way it turned out, even though I was so sad because like I was looking forward to going with Gabby and like other people I didn't know as well on the other trip, like I was excited to get to know them and things because you just grow such a bond on these trips.
Yeah.
But it turned out exactly how it was supposed to. And you just see that like through everything and how it played out. It's just always so cool.
Yeah. That's really cool. Do you have any good memories, Grace, that you want to share?
I have so many. I don't even know which ones to touch on.
Pick the best and tell us.
Okay. Well, okay, so one that I'm thinking of is there's this little boy named Raheem at one of the homes, Sophie's Place in Jamaica. And he has different, like, growth issues. So he looks like he's... Well, at this point, he looked like he was, like, 3 years old, like, very small, or even two. And he was I don't know, 8 or 9. Oh, wow. So sure. he looked so small and like mentally wasn't developed and couldn't speak at all. But he loves to be held. So you go to the aunties and you ask them, like, you can be like, what is George like? And they'll be like, oh, George loves if you hold his hand. Or what is Tiara like? Tiara likes to be pushed around and like go for a walk in the garden. So it's just beautiful to see like the connection they have with the kids too. But she was like, Raheem likes to be held. And I was like, okay. But I was kind of nervous. It was one of my first trips. So I was like nervous to hold one of them because it's kind of like the first time you hold a newborn baby or like sure. a little baby and you're like, I'm going to break them. Right. Like they seem so delicate and like, oh, this is a big responsibility. But I just got to hold Raheem. I held him for like the longest time and I have a picture of it too. It's just like, I think keeps it close to my heart. But as I was holding him, I was walking around, went to the Adoration Chapel and I was praying about it. And I was just kind of like, God, like this is such an amazing experience. Like, I love that I get to be your hands and feet. And he was like, this is exactly like what I want from you because these kids don't have a family. So when we're there, we get to be their sisters yeah. and we get to be their aunties. And so you get to like just love on these kids and they're loving you back too, like even though they can't like reciprocate it. But just to know that you're able to kind of provide comfort and like works of mercy. This Divine Mercy Sunday is when we're recording this.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just so amazing.
Okay, let's That was beautiful. I want to change this. I want to change it totally right now.
Perfect.
I want to talk about what's kind of the, I imagine there's a big culture shock when you get there.
Mm.
And we were talking off air about safety issues and stuff like that. Can you talk a little bit to major cultural differences that you're seeing?
Yeah. Well, they drive on like the other side of the road.
And they like, drive like crazy people.
Yeah, they drive like insane. You're like, wow, I have to hold on because like I want to live. And what are other ones?
Eat a lot of goat.
They're very joyful.
Yeah.
I think
they're welcoming too.
They're so hospitable. Yeah.
And then you look and you see like the difference in terms of poverty and like you see the homes they're living in that like a lot of us would consider maybe camping, if that, you know. And sure. I mean, obviously there's other parts that are more developed. Like it's not entirely impoverished, but a good majority is. And you see that and then you see like how much they appreciate everything. Like they have such gratitude. They don't like see themselves in a victim mentality at all.
Right.
Like they see it as like what life has handed them. And then they're just joyful people. Yeah. They're very joyful.
Very happy.
They haven't had the just overabundance of material, everything
right,
like we
exactly.
have where we live wealthier than yes. Babylonian kings and
yeah.
feel bad for ourselves still.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's cool. Yeah.
They do have an interesting family structure. A lot of them don't really have like a father figure at all. Like
sure.
it's very rare to mm-hmm. have like a two-parent household kind of thing. And a lot of times it's like a mom and her mom raising several kids
sure.
or whatever, and all of them have different dads. So it's a very interesting kind of like family dynamic. And one of the homes we should talk about is Mary's Child.
Yes.
Were you guys able to go?
Yes, we did go.
Mary's Child is one of the homes that takes in teenagers who are pregnant. Because a lot of times they're just completely rejected and abandoned by their families, whether it's because of, like, cultural things or just because, once again, like, they can't support that
right.
financially, and so they don't know how to be there for them. And at Mary's Child, they take these women in. They teach them how to be a mom and, like, all those skills that they need for that. But also, they teach them cosmetology and continue their education and schooling.
Oh, there's, like, a trade kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
They
teach
them how to actually
yeah.
be able to provide, not just give them stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Teach
so
a man to fish, not give
like,
a man a fish kind
exactly.
of thing.
They can keep, mm-hmm. like, learning those things
cool.
up until, like, their baby is, like, 2 years old. And then they try and find another place for them to live or go back with their families. But going there is just so cute because you got these sweet little babies.
It's
and then the
so
girls,
fun.
They're just teenage girls. They just
right.
want to talk with you
yeah.
about everything that teenage girls talk about.
I guess it is yeah. nice because Jamaica, they speak English there. And
yeah.
some, that's really cool. So what about from a safety issue? Because if I'm being mm-hmm. totally upfront with you, if I had a 16, 17, 18-year-old daughter, I'd be kind of nervous about sending her down to Jamaica for mission work.
Yeah, well, they send, like, two, like, security guards with us
mm-hmm.
and so we do have people who work for Mustard Seed that are like with us whenever we leave like the Mustard Seed properties.
When do you leave the Mustard Seed properties? What are you doing then?
Oh, so there's a couple times we go to like the beach
mm-hmm.
or there's one we have a night out and we just go to like a restaurant.
Cool.
What other times do we leave?
Even just like in transport from
yeah.
like one place to one of the other homes, like sometimes you stop for like a lunch on the road or something like that. So there's just, those are the only times I can
yeah.
really think of. Or like to and from the airport. And I've never had an experience where they've had to like
diffuse a situation or anything right. major like that. But you do hear of like stories where like a fight or something else breaks out around them, not with them, but around right. them. And then they kind of shout out like, hey, we're with Mustard Seed. And they all simmer down because it's really amazing.
Everybody kind of knows like, everybody not to mess with them.
Yeah. They have a respect for what Monsignor mm-hmm. does. And like they see the good. And as far as, I've always heard that everyone has like a high respect for Mustard Seed, and the fact that, you know, we come, like missionaries that come in, we're not like tourists that they're gonna pickpocket or anything like that.
We're here to serve, you know.
Right. That's we don't great. Have money on us. We're missionaries. Okay. Yeah.
We're poor too.
That's great. Yeah. I think that's actually kind of a decent segue to get into something that I wanted to talk about briefly, which is reasons not to go. Because something that really bothers me a lot, that mm-hmm. you see a lot in our sort of social media age is, I'm sure somebody smarter than me has already come up with a better word for this, but it's like philanthropic tourism. It's you go to Jamaica, you go to, I don't know, some really impoverished place in Central mm-hmm. or South America or Africa or the Caribbean or whatever. And it's mostly so you can take lots of pictures with, like, sad poor kids and right. post them on your Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the lamest thing in the entire world. I don't know. Yeah. What are you have any thoughts?
I've seen things where I'm like, this kind of looks like it could be that, but I always assume the best.
You should be jaded and cynical like me, Grace.
Because, when I'm at Mustard Seed, I take pictures, too, and I don't necessarily, like... I think I do post them. But you don't post the residents necessarily because they're not really supposed to be posted. But
hashtag conservative God. Hashtag Jesus is so lucky to have us.
I'm so humble.
Yeah. Hashtag humility.
But a lot of times it is kind of like in a desire to remember those things and like
right.
take those memories with you and like share that with other people.
Share like the joy you experience.
But at the same time, I know what you're talking about because I think some people do, or at least they enter into these trips with that mindset. And whether, you know, it transforms while they're there or not, like, that's kind of their own journey. But I think, don't go on a mission if you want to be a savior. You know, if you have a savior mentality.
Yeah. Right, sure.
And you think that, you know, you're going to be the one to fix something, because mm-hmm. that's not going to happen. But honestly, I don't even like that. Go on a mission if you think you're going to be the savior.
Just do it.
You're quickly going to realize that you're not at all.
I like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So is there an evangelization component at all to this?
Not so much with the residents, but more
maybe
so
with the caretakers.
Yeah, the caretakers.
Like, not all of them are Catholic, and they tell us like up front, they're like, when we get there, like, you know, like, they know about, like, Catholicism and Jesus, but, like, they're not, like, necessarily Catholic, so, mm-hmm. like, just be respectful of that.
Mm-hmm.
So there's, like, a bit of, like, evangelization with that, mm-hmm. because, like we said, when they go to spend their break with, like, with Jesus, like, in the Eucharist, like,
right.
they're surrounded by that, so, like, they kind of experience, like, the Catholic culture a little, and I'm sure that, like, rubs off, and I'm sure mm-hmm. they can... Like, that definitely softens, like, their heart and, like,
sure.
helps a lot, but not necessarily.
Which a lot of times is the, I think, most effective way of evangelization, right?
Yeah, if I was around Jesus all the time,
yes,
I'd be like, okay,
yeah.
you know.
I think you just use the word softens their heart. So mm-hmm. you just said, yeah, I love that so much. I need a healthy dose of heart softening pretty regularly. All right, so let's say that I am a 35-year-old man whose wife stays at home and he has 6 kids and he can't swing, I don't know, just throwing out random ideas about a person. side hustles, talking on the radio occasionally. I can't swing a week away mm-hmm. To go down to Jamaica in the summer. What can I do? How can I help? And I don't just mean in regards to Mustard Seed, right?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, prayer partners. Obviously, you can donate, you know, all mm-hmm. these things that we can do to sort of bolster that mission mm-hmm. in particular. But what are some other ways that I can serve? Because we're all called, mm-hmm. right, to mission work in some way. We're all called to evangelize, right? While the church is not predominantly a social organization, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're predominantly an organization geared towards truth and salvation, right? Established by Jesus Christ. But what are some ways that I can serve the needy around here? What can I do?
Mm-hmm. I think the first step would be to kind of ask the Lord and pray about it, but then to also kind of look into your soul and see, like, He made you as the person you are and see the things that you're gravitating towards, whether it's teaching and education or is it
serving a community of people with disabilities. And then find that locally. Find that, like, within your church LTE program or, whatever mission your heart is drawn towards, the Lord is going to use that desire.
Yeah. I'd probably just say, like, if you're, like, a father and, you know, like, you have, like, you can, like, just have that charism, like, of service and, like, use that, like, in your, like, household or, like, wherever you are, you know, like, just, like, in your daily life. I don't think it's, like, you know, you don't have to go out of your way to do it. I think if you just, like, if it becomes natural to you and can, like, serve people more than... There's a lot more, like, opportunities to serve people more than you think, you know?
Mm-hmm. I have a friend who said... I'm going to butcher this paraphrase. But essentially, he said that, you know, I think that when Jesus says you should love your neighbor, he's probably talking about your neighbor. And yeah. That's a really good point. And he started doing this thing in his sort of neighborhood where he had like a big community dinner once a week, and they all came over, and he's like, hey, we cleared the house a little bit, but the house is a mess, the kids are everywhere. We just wanted to connect with our neighbors and show them love and feed them, and they could bring a bottle of wine or whatever, that's but it was so mostly beautiful. Just hang out. And I don't know, that spoke to me in a big way, because mm-hmm. I feel like sometimes we have, like, telescopic charity, where you want to, I'm going to send money to help the pygmies in the Congo. Mm-hmm. Awesome. I'm going to write that check, and now that's done. And listen, there's nothing wrong with that. Jesus Christ, what does he tells the rich man? He says, what can I do? He says, sell all your belongings and follow me. Great. Donate. Send money. Mm-hmm. Help people who need. But he also says the follow me part. Right?
Yeah. Like
the abandon yourself or something else. You want to become perfect. This is how you do it. None of us are going to do that this side of heaven. But I want to brag on my wife for a minute. We lived on... We just built a new house that we moved into last Thanksgiving. And before we did that, we lived in tenement housing. I talked about it on the show. I mean, it was a hovel in the woods. It was cheap, and it was right by where I was building this house. So I said, you know what, we had two bedrooms, one bathroom. We're just going to grind it out for a year. We're all going to move in this little bitty house. It's going to be awesome. And we did. It was fun. It was great. We had rats. other than that, it was great. We don't have rats anymore. It was not our fault. The rats were already there. It's just like roommates, hundreds of them.
That's a nice way to put it. Cute.
But that's not how I'm bragging on my wife. God bless her for doing that. But we had a neighbor, and I won't say her name on the air, but she lived in a single wide trailer. She was about, 100 yards through the woods. And my wife just started going over there and visiting her every day. And she'd bring the little kids. And I had my daughter was like a 4-year-old and a 6-year-old little girl then who would go over there with her. And it was, she just talked to this woman, like kind of like what you guys are doing. This, like, hey, just because you might not have the same material kinds of stuff we have, you're a human being, and I love you, and you are good. Mm-hmm. And at first, I don't think she liked it that much. I think there was a level of discomfort there.
Oh, 100%.
But over time, it was like, oh my gosh, we gotta run over to Miss So and So's house.
Yeah,
like we have to go. I said I was gonna come over there and have dinner with her, and so she would go. It was the best thing in the entire world. And I think we miss sometimes these abilities, these opportunities to serve locally, and I mean locally. I mean proximity locally,
right next door.
Because we look at stuff along my way. You were saying something, Julian, earlier about retreat opportunities and about sort of donating our time in a more regional, local sense.
Right. Yeah. Of course, especially for young adults, the best way I think to connect, and I'm speaking biasly because I just got off of a retreat with some teens, but the young adults are as close as we can be to the teenage years. And that is probably the most important for formation into the faith that we can be. And so there are a lot of opportunities for mission with Life Teen, Damascus, and around that, whether it's at your local church or at various Life Teen camps, or Damascus has a camp, I think, up in Ohio. And I think that that's just a really good way to evangelize, connect, and do mission work similar to this. So you're not all going all the way to Jamaica. Maybe you're unable to get a passport, or you just don't want to go to get a passport, or Jamaica is a little too much for you. So, you know, look at mission work within that way.
We're about a quarter mile away from Hidden Lake Life Teen Camp right now.
We are.
Which is a phenomenal opportunity. I just think, and I want to beat this drum as loud as I can, as often as I can, that we are all called to serve in a very real way.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone's vocation, your primary vocation, is obviously getting your soul to heaven, followed immediately by your spouse if you're married, and then your family. But a lot of us, I don't want to sound judgmental, but I'm going to, because what I'm going to say is judgmental. I think a lot of us lie to ourselves that we don't have the time, we don't have the resources, we don't have the energy. And then we look at the things, and this is me too, right? When I'm being judged, I'm also being judgmental of myself, because we're devoting a lot of our time and energy to things like reading the news or scrolling on our phones or playing Red Dead Redemption 2. I don't play Red Dead Redemption 2, but that kind of thing.
I don't either.
Yeah, great. But I think if we really take a step back, and I'm going to give permission, because I'm going to be the arbiter of truth right now, I've decided. Even if you're doing it selfishly, even if you're saying, no, I'm going to do this because I need to get something out of this, right? And that sounds almost counterproductive, maybe, or counterintuitive, but you can go, like you were saying earlier, you might be going to Jamaica primarily because it's going to make you feel good. You'll feel good. Okay. Go do whatever it is, because that feeling on your heart is probably coming from a rightly formed conscience. And I bet by the time you're done, you're going to realize that it wasn't really all for you, and that you still grew way more than you thought you were going to.
Yeah, that's so true. That conversation also reminded me of the opportunity to serve the homeless in downtown Atlanta. Predominantly, this is, you know, Atlanta's Catholic radio station. So if you have a heart to serve the homeless, or just to, you know, kind of take it a little bit more seriously, being a missionary where you are, I know RC missions, Regnum Christi missions, they go down and they serve the homeless. They hand out food and just talk with them and, restore their dignity and pray with them and just recognize them as people and chat with them. And there's also Mercy missions, and I know they go down and they have missions going on, and it's a good practice to just pray with people.
Yes, seriously. Yeah. Soup kitchens are great. I mean, there's 100 of them. I know we could probably list. Rainbow Village is one that I was involved with for a while. They're fantastic. They're primarily based over in Duluth, I think. It's they take little kids when their parents are, if they have a mom or whoever who can't take care of them in the afternoons and evenings, and they keep them until really late so mom can finish her shift and all of this stuff. Yeah. It's really cool. You just go down there and play a lot of Connect Four. Basically, right, you get to just show up and play with little kids all day. It's a lot of fun.
So fun.
I would wreck those kids in Connect Four, for the record. And I'll throw this out there. If anybody here is 8 years old and wants to play Connect Four against me, I will. I'll play you and I will win.
And I'll crush you.
I never. Yeah, no mercy. All right, guys, this is awesome. Do you guys have, we're going to get to popsicle sticks here in a second, but do you have any closing thoughts before we move on?
Probably just like service is like something like I was like initially like scared about when I kind of like first started like doing mission trips or mission like events or whatever, and that it's like a good scared. You're scared because you're about to do something that's hard and it makes you a little nervous because but it's like good. It's like really fulfilling.
Your comfort zone is really lame.
Yeah,
like stop being
there. Like push yourself, you know, because it's like good to go out of your comfort zone, and like you will be fulfilled in what you do, and it's like good for you. So, yeah.
Yeah, we don't realize, I think, often how much we need it.
Yeah.
And that's kind of a cliche, but it's so true, right? Serving others is really good for you. And you realize how, right, we're all called to turn away from ourselves for the sake of others. And it's can be uncomfortable and whatever, and that's great. Do it anyway. All right, Grace, you got anything before we jump into Popsicle 6?
Are these mine? Oh, I kind of phased out for a second, but I was trying to pick which one I'm going to do because some of these are so weird. In terms of mission, I think one thing that was on my heart to share in this podcast that I want to practice more personally is just to love the person in front of you. Like, you don't have to be serving somebody who's homeless or who has disabilities. Like, it can just be a person at work that's coming up to the register, or the friend in class that sits next to you and is complaining about the test, trying
that lady in your office who you can't stand.
Right.
Awesome. Serve
Shift
her.
The pers- yeah, exactly. Yeah. Shift the perspective. And yeah,
I love it. All right. Rapid fire popsicle sticks. Pick your favorite. We'll probably just have time for one apiece. I'll start.
I don't know which one to choose.
We have to pick right now.
Which one
we have 32
pick?
Seconds.
Oh, okay. I need to get on it. Okay.
Go Grace.
Me?
Hooray.
You got yours? Okay, yes. What talent would you like to have, and what talent are you most thankful for? I kind of wish I was, like, more creative, like, artsy. Okay. I don't know.
Wrong answer. Flight. Flight was the right answer.
That's true. Actually, yeah, if you could fly, teleportation.
That would be so much better than being really good at crocheting.
Yes. All right. Yes.
And what are you really thankful for?
I'm thankful for, like, I don't know, actually. Everyone tells me, like, my brothers always tell me, like, my talent is, like, reading. Because I read a lot.
That's a good talent to have.
Yeah.
All right, Grace, what you got? All right, way to go. Ladies, thank you so much for being here. Unfortunately, we're out of time.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Producer Julian, this is always a pleasure. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This has been Honest to God, a production of The Quest, Atlantis Catholic Radio. Producer Julian.
Signing off.
Over now.
This has been Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults on AM 1160, The Quest.